Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It is the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text today comes from 1 John, the second chapter, verses 3 through 11. Please follow along in your Bibles, and if you forgot your Bible, there should be one in front of you in the rack in the pew right ahead. 1 John 2, 3 through 11. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing and studying of His word. You know, one of the main purposes of 1 John is to teach us to know if we are truly children of God, if we are indeed born again, if we are saved. And by studying the second chapter of John, it is possible for a person to actually know whether he or she is saved. If we were to approach a first century Christian and ask him if he were saved, we would not receive answers such as, "Well, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved." No, those early Christians had assurance of their salvation. It was solidly based on a real in-the-flesh experience with Jesus and upon the unshakable testimony of God's word as recorded at that time. And in our text, John discusses three tests whereby we can know beyond a doubt if we are children of God. We can know, in other words, if we are saved. The first test John talks about is found in verses 3 through 5. Let's look at those again very quickly. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So this first test that John mentions is the test of our attitude towards obeying God. If we are genuinely born again, if we are true children of God, we shall have the attitude of obedience to God's commands. It's not enough for us to just say we are saved. There must be an attitude of obedience in our heart. We can attend church and Sunday school every Sunday. We can attend Bible study every Wednesday. We can serve on all the committees we want. We can teach a Sunday school class, and we can serve as a deacon. But yet, if we are not obedient to God's commands, we are not saved. John is not claiming that we can obey the commands of God perfectly all the time. We know that is impossible. But what he is saying is, if we are saved, we have the desire in our hearts to obey the commands, to try to the best of our ability to obey what God has commanded us to do. Verse 3 again. I know we've read it twice, but let's just listen. We know that we have come to him if we obey his commands. Note the word commands is plural. But then in verse 5, Paul states, but if anyone obeys his word. Do you see the difference there? In one verse, Paul is talking about keeping the commands of God. And in another verse, he is talking about obeying the word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then in verse 23 of that very same chapter 14 of John, we read, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching or my word. There's a difference between wanting to do the commands of God and wanting to do according to the word of God. Suppose a young man comes home and his father says to him, Tyler, we can guess who that young man might be. Tyler, I want you to take out the garbage and wash the car. Now, these are specific commands that Randy has made of his son. And Tyler performs these commands. But then he hears his dad tell his mom, you know, he says, I don't feel well, and I really wish someone would mow the grass and get up the clippings. And Tyler performs these chores, not because his father commanded him to do them. He performs them because he loves his father and he wishes to not only obey his father's command, but also his father's word. And this is the attitude which is in the heart of a child of God. Not only do we want to obey his commands because we love him, but we want to keep his word because we love him. We read specific commands and commandments in the Bible, yet we also learn the desire of Jesus for our lives, and we want to follow those desires. We want to obey his wishes for how we live day to day. Verse 5 teaches, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And as a result, there will be an attitude of obedience to God's command and to God's word. The second test that Paul talks to us about is the test of action. If you look at verse 6 again, we read, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. If we are children of God, there is a sense of obligation on the part to live our lives as Jesus lived his life. Our walk and our talk ought to coincide with Jesus' walk and talk. Our lives ought to be consistent with the way we talk. We know people that come to church on Sunday and claim to be Christians, and then we see them during the week and how they deal with others, how they take advantage of others, how they use profanity. And we know that they are not walking the walk that they talk. Think about the walk of Jesus. In childhood, he walked in submission to his parents. In his earthly ministry, he walked along the shores of Galilee, healing people, praying for them, preaching and performing good deeds. And as our Savior, Jesus walked steadfastly to the cross at Calvary for our sins. We should walk even as Jesus walked. This statement means that there ought to be a desire on our part to imitate the life of Jesus. And salvation means not only identifying with Jesus in salvation, but identifying with Him and imitating Him as we go through our daily activities each and every week. And the third test that John talks about is found in verses 7 through 11. And they may be confusing at first blush and as we first read them. But let's look at them once again. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Our love will be an indication of whether or not we are really a truly born again child of God. You know, back in verse 3, we said that John uses the word commands plural. But in this section of this text, he is talking about the command of God, one command of God specifically. He's narrowed it down to this one command. And when he talks about a new command, he really is talking about the old command of love. John is stating that the old command regarding love is in essence new. If you look at verses 7 and 8, it appears that John is contradicting himself. The command regarding love is very old, yet it is new to those who experience it for the first time. That's what he's trying to get across. That it becomes a new experience when we begin to love as God loved. You know, as a young person, your first puppy love or your first true love, if you will, it all seems like you've invented love. But you have not. Love is as old as God's creation of us here on this earth. Such is the way with God's love. We do not really have the capacity to love others if the love of God is not within us. So John says there is a new emphasis on love in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we were living under the law. The Word of God was based on the law, and now he's saying, since Jesus' birth and death and resurrection, God is speaking to us through the law. God is speaking to us through love. There's a different emphasis in the New Testament, as we know. There's a new covenant. The emphasis now is not upon the command of the law and fulfilling the law. It's upon the love which fulfills the command. You know, it's much better to live under love than to live under the law. If we live under love, you don't have to worry about the law. Because of love, you will fulfill or be compelled to abide by the law. Let me give you an example. There's a law that states generally that all parents have to provide for the health, welfare, and education of their children. Yet do we provide for our children and take care of them because of the law? or because of love. I dare say that it's because of love that we do that. And because of love, we are fulfilling the law that requires us to take care of our children. So we are living under love if we are a child of God. And if we have that love within our heart, then we are saved. This command of which John writes is not only new in its emphasis, but it is new in its example. In verse 8, he says, "Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him." When Jesus came to the world and started loving as only Jesus could love, it was a concept new to this earth. Think about it. Before he came, Samaritans hated the Jews. The Pharisees hated those who didn't agree with their interpretation of God's word. People hated all taxpayers because they were presumed to be evil. And yet, this world had never seen such a demonstration of love as Jesus showed on his everyday life here. He loved his disciples even though they bickered and they fought. The poorest of people, the lowest of sinners, could feel the warmth of the love of Jesus. Jesus not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid it down for his enemies as well. The greatest accolade that could be given to Jesus was the accusation that he was friends with sinners. He loved everyone. He loved everyone. There's a contrast in verses 9 and 10 between light and darkness and love and hatred. These items do not mix. They are mutually exclusive. And John tells us, if anyone claims, "I am the light," and says, "I am saved," and yet has hatred in his or her heart for his brother and sister, then he is not, she is not saved. We cannot hate anybody and be saved. If we claim we are children of God, yet hate any man because of his face or his place or his race, then we are a liar, John said, and we are not children of God. We live in darkness if we hate anyone. So as we look at the three tests that John gives us in this short selection of Scripture, we should apply these tests to our lives. The test of attitude: do we have an obedient heart to God? The test of actions: do we walk the walk as well as talk the talk? Do we live like Jesus day to day as we encounter others? And third, the test of affection: do we love our fellow man? And if we pass all three of these tests, I truly believe that we can know at that time that we have the salvation that we desire, that we are saved. So if you're here today and you are a believer and you find yourself receiving a failing grade on these tests, then you need to ask God to help you to improve, to change your study habits, if you will, to learn to be obedient, to learn to walk like Jesus, to learn to love others. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. And you can obey His command. You can walk as He walked, and you can love others and know that you are truly saved.